Hello, hello. You're listening to a rogue edition of Is Good on killradio.org. Today is Friday, May 9th, and my guest is Telematique. MySpace.com/telematiquemusic. We're going to start by playing a track from their EP, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. It's going to be a great show. Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Telematique. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Thanks for coming in. And really excited to have you on the show. This is a really interesting act. Why don't we just start with, why don't you introduce yourselves? Who are you and what do you bring to Telematique?
Well, my name is Arisha and I play the violin and the chanteuse as well, singer.
I'm Somerset and I do the backups and I'm playing the cello, which is your bass line.
And how did this act develop? Was there one person who was doing music and then found another person to make it work? Or did you guys, were you guys playing together and said, hey, we should make a band? How did that happen?
Wow. Well, it's sort of been an organic process. Some of the older ones were songs that I'd written before, and even one or two played with another person, another group. And then out of just sort of a spontaneous idea, I was like, oh, I want to play my band. And Summer and I had started playing sort of separately from this Telematique, just jamming and improvising and vibing in that way, which was really cool. And then we were like, wow, we really play well together. And so once I sort of wanted to put this, you know, a real legitimate band together that was just going to do this, where I was going to lead, front it. And so then, you know, he was totally down with joining forces on that as well. It just sort of happened. It wasn't really like, will you play with me? It was mm-hmm. more like, it just happened. Yeah.
What kind of acts were you playing in before you decided to do your own thing? Like, what is it that you wanted to do differently than what you were doing with other people?
Well, I was playing in like an all girls band, and I was playing violin and guitar. That was a while ago. I actually moved here for that band. And that band sort of just like fizzled away because just it
as
happens
bands
sometimes.
Tend to do, yeah. Yeah.
And then I was in another band playing violin, and just as a side person playing violin and doing backups and playing keyboard as well in Bedroom Walls. And then actually we formed a band with, it wasn't just the two of us. And then it was Double Date. That's right. We were playing with another couple because we're a couple. So we were playing with another couple and they were doing drums and keyboard. And that's actually what happened before Telematique happened. And
well,
then,
no, that was a hiatus because we'd done Telematique before that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes. So, I'm getting my chronological story wrong.
I came out here in 2003 and ended up on tour. And after doing the U.S. for like 7.5 months of touring around on with my solo project, which was a lot of live loops and tracks created on my cello, as well as some electronic percussion and my vocals and an audience mic. And so kind of would organize that whole thing. And that was fun. And got to L.A. and was just looking for some stuff, and Arisha and I started hanging out.
And then part of that was the music.
Yeah, part of that was music.
That's beautiful. Was there a sense as musicians while you were working with doing these other projects that because of the instruments that you were most comfortable with, that people expected you to kind of, you know, be in the background or be the second chair? Like, now you guys have the opportunity to be in the front and show what you do. I mean,
well, I don't know what people expected, but I definitely had a hard time being in the background all the time.
Well, I mean, a lot of times you hear like, oh, let's throw a violin in here, as opposed to it being a violin, you know, piece.
Yeah, no, I like playing both, actually. Like, I really enjoyed being, like, you know, enhancing the music with violin lines and pretty things and, you know, because that's actually more important than people even think. And so I enjoyed that, but then and fronting or making the violin or cello, like, really part of the integral part of the, you know, like a guitar or a bass. Like, I think it's more like having people think of these instruments differently, like mm-hmm. taking them out of the orchestra and all of a sudden they're like plugged in and rocking out. That's where I have fun with, like, messing with people's heads with a little bit. It's like,
and then when the song's done, you like bite the head off a bat and smash your violin against the,
yeah, totally.
The amps. Yeah. I can tell you guys are like that.
Arg.
Yeah.
Pouring the blood out of the F-holes.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, it was kind of always in my esoteric brain of how music should be. I always thought that cello should be like a little more frontline. And so it was a chance to really explore that. And
has cello been kind of treated much like the bass is treated in a lot of rock bands?
No, it doesn't get that much push because it's, I don't know, maybe it's harder to find cello players. But it's definitely that bass area that it can hold on to in a band. But often with a guitar, which is pulls a little bit lower than a violin does, it means that it works better with a violin than with a guitar often. Mm-hmm. And it works out.
You guys want to jump into a live song?
Sure.
What are you going to play for us first?
We're going to play a song called Holiday. I think I wrote this when I'd been working for too long. I
agree. I declare a holiday myself. I think that's a fine idea.
You know, sometimes you just have to do it yourself, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You wait around for someone else to do it for you. Then.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to, in like a crowded bank or something, I'm just going to put my foot down and go, I declare a holiday.
Cool, you should.
You can start a movement. Yeah.
Let us know, we'll be there with you.
Awesome. So why don't we talk about the what your songs are about? When you know, lyrically, are there themes you like to come back to? Is a lot of it about running away from work or telling stories? Things, are they self-reflective or more abstract? What do you think?
A little bit of all you said.
Yeah.
It depends. Like I've had, like that song was obviously needing an out from where I was at that point. It was like sort of like, oh, it's just like. Just sort of be spontaneous. And then I have another, like I'm looking at the songs we're going to play today. I have another one that's actually about my sister when she was going through a hard time. So that was more of an emotional thing and more of a communicative way, like expressing something to her that I almost couldn't say to her face. Just because it's like easier sometimes to say things in song or in poetry. And
strangely, yes.
Yeah,
it's
and
true.
It was just sort of like my gut feeling, you know, it was just like, oh, you know. And then we have like an anti-war song, you know, there's like the political elements of things as well, or the social awareness. So it sort of runs the gamut of like, you know, emotional to intellectual or theoretical or whatever, you know.
Does the process of writing change depending on the theme? Like I would imagine an anti-war song, you have something to say, so you're thinking lyrically first and then you find the music for it. But then maybe with something like, in another case, you might have the music and then later discover what the words are going to be for it. How does it usually work for you?
I think you've always done it, putting words to the music.
No, actually, really? The older songs, I used to write my lyrics first and then I would write melodies. And then I realized that wasn't always the... It changes, actually. But yes, definitely recently it's more like the melody comes first, and sometimes it's like 3 months and I still don't have set words. I say set words because I make up words on the spot that a lot of times I'm like, oh, I gotta remember that. Or even at shows, like some of our new songs, like I'm making words just by sort of being inspired by the audience. And that's been really fun, actually. That sort of keeps you on your toes, and it's sort of like how rap artists do it, like sort of the spontaneous. You know?
Yeah.
And then I
so
mix it up
freestyle
with
lyricism.
Yeah, exactly, freestyle. And the other thing is I sing in French too. A lot of my songs are in French, and so that sort of opened up a whole nother sort of phonetic possibility. And so even when I just even thinking of melodies, but knowing that I want to write that song in French, even without lyrics, sort of helped. I don't know. It helped sort of like form certain melodic ideas and things. So that's been really cool. Also being able to interchange the two languages.
It's really cool when she just improvises the lyrics too. That's kind of neat. It's also kind of what we have. That's how we really found playing music together really enjoyable. It's just kind of jamming out, and having a classical background. There is the improvisation, like the cadenzas that happen in classical music, where you can really find another kind of solo with a lot of blues environment that you've kind of chosen to play your music in, but go at it the same way that you would in this kind of classical fashion on this instrument. And it gets kind of neat.
Pop meets classical.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So the first time you guys went up on stage as Telematique in front of an audience did you guys, because you came from this, you know, solid background of being in music, did you feel totally prepared for that or was it pretty nerve wracking?
Well, I mean, we've always been playing music. And so since we were kids, and so it's nerve-wracking is probably less the question. I think getting nervous is part of the wonder of playing out. And if you're nervous, it means you care. But it's more of just this chemistry experiment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's always been a fun experience and a learning experience. I mean, each show has its own set of things that you're like, okay. Remember not to do that next time. Remember to make sure you have that on a little closer to your foot, whatever it could be, you know. So. And also, I mean, for me, it's really about interacting with the audience and the energy. Even if there's like, you know, only five people there, depending on the space and depending on how they relate, can make the show like the best show I've ever played because of that, you know. So that's something that as a smaller group, as just a duo, as opposed to like, you know, when we were a four-piece or playing with other bands, that's something I really like, is it's more intimate. you know, with us as well as with, you know, interacting with the audience.
Along those lines then, we're going to go to a track from your EP, but tell me a little bit about the recording process, which is, you know, much different animal. You don't have that immediate connection with the audience and you still have to, you know, make the song your own. Was that a bit of a challenge for you, like sort of putting in your mind, like connecting with the music on that level?
When I was recording, like,
As opposed to, you know, the live performance where you can rely on the audience to keep you kind of, you know, enthusiastic about it during the song.
Well, what I like to do, especially for vocals, I like to really think about what it was I was feeling and thinking when I wrote it. And so sometimes it's hard, you know, sometimes it brings you back to a painful place, you know, I mean, and so, but it was okay. Like, I allowed myself to go there and I sort of put myself in a mindset and close the door and just try to, you know, try to get there, and that way I can hopefully transfer that feeling through the CD, not, you know, in person, because it's harder, but, you know, that's the goal, you know. So.
Do you get something out of sort of laying down the perfect track, though, and, like, you know, I mean, the live performance has that element. It's a little bit different each time. You have the audience, but there's also something to be said for, like, the song, the way it was meant to be, you know, and it's kind of solidifying it. Do you get something out of that, or is sort of recording a CD more of just an extension of what you have to do as a live performer?
Well, I think it's sort of, I think it's two different things. I mean, I think it's one way to document, actually, in a way, and to be able to give somebody something so they can take a little bit of you home, you know, and just like an artist has something that's tangible, like a visual artist, you know, and that's something that I, like, my sister is a visual artist, and I was like, man, it's no fair. Like, I'll play something and it's gone out in the wind, you know, and people just have to be there and hear it. And so it makes sense that people make recordings is so people can enjoy what the music brings them on their own time, you know? And so that's why I think that's the thrill of doing a recording is like, here, have this, take it home, and then hopefully you'll enjoy it, you know?
Nice.
So.
Yeah, I mean, definitely with recording, it's something where we're both really independent people. So the lines that we're coming up with for the songs have got to be something that's interesting for us to play.
Over and over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because, you know, you go out and you play these songs all the time. But I think as far as it being something where we're going to nitpicky on it, and I think that it comes out of us. And like Arisha said, we're thinking of it as documentation, not going in there for, like, perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's listen to another track from this CD. This one's called Snapshots in Paris. And we'll be right back with more live interview and performance from Telematique. Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Thank you.
pense que tu me dis en gros il est rêve qui se remplit.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Telematique. Where can people get this this EP that you have?
Well, they can come to our shows and buy it. I actually have to set up this downloadable system on MySpace. I'm not really a tech head. It takes me a while to figure that stuff out, so maybe you can help out.
And it's a new, or you can email thing, us. Right, on MySpace for doing that?
Too? Oh, yeah, they got that snow cap thing. I don't know if it works, but people seem to keep giving them their songs, so
right. Yeah.
Must be a reason for it, I hope.
But you can download songs, or you can email us, and I can send something, or you can come to a show. It's, you know, we live locally. You can I'll deposit it in your mailbox.
Is this EP a precursor to a full length? How much music do you guys plan on producing, or do you want to be known? We kind of touched on this a little bit more before, but like, do you see yourselves as more of a live act that releases some songs here and there as like a gift to their fans?
Well, I would like to. We're actually talking about recording right now. What I'd like to do is a full length, actually, maybe this summer. We're going to be traveling for a little bit, so putting that maybe in the next like couple months, put together a full length, including these songs, but a full length. If not, do another like small EP, depending on the funds. But so yeah, I would like to have a full length, definitely.
But I would answer yeah. I think we're releasing like.
Sorry, he's got to get his mic.
I think releasing albums is something that we can try to do, but it's something, it takes a lot of energy, and there's
sure.
like perfection and that kind of, that you want to instill in something that you're documenting. So it's something that we'll do here and there, but,
And what true. Makes for a fantastic live performance for you, other than, it technically working? And again, I guess we did kind of touch on this before, but like, is it, do you value the response of the audience more than your sort of own self? Whether or not you think you did a good job?
It's a mix of the two.
Yeah.
Audience is huge, actually. I mean, I think we go for more, we're pretty selective about some of the acts that we'll play at. And in the beginning, we almost did exclusively art events. We did like Not a Cornfield a mm-hmm. lot, a couple times, and events like that. And that meant that we had this kind of context of coming up with a show where we would also do a lot more improvisation. And we would just feel out the vibe of the place and incorporate that into our show. And so that's a major part of us. Probably, less so with the songs, but it's still a major part of our
Yeah, it depends show. On the venue, depends on the night. But yeah, I think it's a mix of two. Like if we feel really good about it and then you get this response from the audience as well, it's like, but it's a give and give, I think.
Right? Is challenging people's expectations a big part of what you do?
No.
Yeah. I think so.
No, yes, no.
Challenging people's expectations.
Like when they see the people come out on stage
with the cello and the violin,
and then you do your
That's
thing.
Why I say, yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's sort of fun to be like, whoa, to see them afterwards, and just they were like, wow. People's responses are a lot of times like sort of taken by surprise. They weren't expecting it. It's not something they ever see.
It's hard to put into a context. Yeah. Yeah.
I love rocking out on cello.
But what's really nice is having people come up to us or up to me, especially because maybe I'm singing, and telling me like, "Wow, that's the perfect thing I needed to hear today. I was just totally needed something like that." Or, what you guys just played really spoke to me in this way. And like, so really, it's almost like having a one-on-one intimate conversation with one person, and that person's telling me, like, that it helped them or whatever. So that's like. Kind of a thrill when
I
hear that.
As a musician, that's got to be the most gratifying it gets.
Totally, yeah.
When you get that sense that you've actually, through your performance, communicated to someone who just happened to walk into the room and have that song fall upon them.
Yeah, so that's been really cool.
Fantastic.
That's a major part of actually why I think I play music. I was a street musician for a long time in Boston, and getting people leaving notes in your bucket about how much you made your day, on their commute home and such. It's a major reason why I play, I think. It's just that kind of appreciation for something that, sometimes you just really hate playing, sometimes you really love it, and it's something that keeps you going.
Yeah, well, and it's still work, right? I mean, it's still your job.
Practicing.
Yeah. You guys ready to do another live song?
Sure.
What are you going to play for us now?
play a song called Falling Down.
Whenever you're ready. Is a fantastic song. My guest is Tella Matik. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. myspace.com/Tella Matik Music. Is that the place to go for all the up-to-date information for
that
now?
That is the place to go.
Yeah, okay. We had a Tella Matik Music, I think, .com for a while, but not doing that anymore, so just do the MySpace.
Tella Matik Music at MySpace.
And what's the significance of the name of the band?
Oh, well, this was really fun, actually, coming up with this, because we were like, what are we going to name it? And the whole idea of the concept of this, as you can hear on some of the songs, we have loops. And the loops are created, well, my sort of idea was like to create loops through organic means as opposed to through the electronic world. And so the loops we use are definitely not electronic. They're just my violin going through a loop machine that are then now regenerated through the loop machine out from the amp. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of telecommunicating, you know, it's like this communication through electronic means. And it's funny because Summer is an electrician, so that also sort of made sense. So it's a way of like communicating through electronic means organically.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Finally, a name with meaning.
I looked in the dictionary, in the French dictionary, and that's sort of how I found the word.
Kind of telecommunication. So yeah, it's good.
It's like, I thought it meant awesome cello player.
Well,
that's what you told me. Arisha, tell me when did you start to sing, and when did you start to bring your voice to this project?
Well, the voice has been my last instrument that I've played. It's funny. I don't know. I've gone through different permutations with the voice, but I started really feeling myself and being really comfortable with it when we started playing together in this sort of format, or in the double date, the first format. And it was really cool to be like, wow, when you see the instrumentation sort of fit into place and the right people, and all of a sudden it was like I was able to find I've love singing now. And before, there were times when it was like, I mean, I sang and it was fine, but it wasn't like, I just didn't have the same connection that I do now with it. And I can't really explain it, but it just all sort of, the pieces sort of fell together.
Did it seem, you know, like your vocal instrument was something you weren't as familiar with as say the violin? So you're kind of waiting for your voice to catch up to that sort of,
yeah, or
level.
Finding it. Like I used to be in a rock band. Mm-hmm. And so I was like singing more of like a rock female singer than this sort of more ethereal voice that I have now, and being okay with that, you know, like before, yeah. I wanted to be really strong up there, and it was just like, it's not as comfortable, honestly. It wasn't as comfortable for me. It fit the music. It was okay. But this seems to just sort of be where I'm at right now, at least. And
which fits the music.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, I started playing violin many, many, many years. And then having to sing and play violin at the same time was a skill within itself that I had to learn. And that was something that, like, took practice. Because it's not
I've never seen it,
obvious.
Actually. I don't think I've ever actually seen it. Because usually you assume that the violin player is so wrapped up in, you know, holding the violin in the right position and having their head away from the microphone, and yeah. I guess that's a technique you had to kind of develop,
yeah,
on your own.
It was funny with my old band, that's when I started, and we would joke about it. I was like, well, another skill learned, or like each time was like okay. And then actually I have to practice that's like the coordination element of things that I have to practice still, as far as when I may come up with a melody, but it might be sort of difficult to figure it out how to do it with the violin at the same time. And then like I end up, you know, going over to like, you know, 100 times, and then, or 10 times, regardless, whatever. But it ends up being, it's like something I have to sometimes, you know, make work. But
and also when you're performing live, you know, you have to make sure you're facing the audience in a way where they can see your face, and you know, and they can see you perform and sing all at the same time. So it's,
I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah, like it comes
now,
naturally to you.
It's just
now,
like, sort of natural, and I love it. I mean, I don't know. That was fun.
What about the structure of the songs? I mean, some of these are very clearly have a pop influence to them, you know, and the sort of chord progressions that you guys are using. But then, of course, it has this heavy orchestral influence as well. How do you kind of make that balance when you guys are writing songs and use your varied backgrounds to figure out how a song is going to go, basically?
Yeah. Well, I was inspired by a lot of, you know, like Stereolab was definitely, and Blonde Redhead, like certain bands that I was just really, that I really like, you know? And so it lent, and also it just lent itself pretty well to the genres and the way, and also French chanson is something that was, that I drew from as far as crafting the song structure.
French chanson, like Edith Piaf. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, and just also trying to write, or wanting to write simple songs. Because there's a lot going on already. Like, I don't...
Right.
Like, they're simple in their chord progressions, but they're not that simple as far as... Even just in their... I mean, instrumentation. It's just... It's not obvious. It's not just like... You know, I don't know. I think meshing the simplicity of form with maybe other complicated elements, mm-hmm, makes something that sort of can be a little bit refreshing. And but...
Nice. Well, you guys want to jump into one more live song for us?
Sure. Okay.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Telematique.
Have you heard the
listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Telematique, myspace.com/telematiquemusic. You know, it's funny. I was sort of looking, staring off into your MySpace page while listening to you guys play that song, and I was thinking, there's a certain, I don't know, Philip Glass quality to this music. And then my eyes just landed on the words Philip and Glass on your page.
Right. I forgot to mention that before, like as far as meshing the pop element with the classical that we definitely draw from.
Yeah. And the other thing that I always notice in his kind of compositions is it's very kind of beat oriented without the beat itself, you know, right, but it's very sort of rhythmic. It's, you know, it's like symphony music you find yourself bobbing your head to. And, you know, it's really fantastic.
That's great.
You, like, get drawn into it, sort of mesmerizing.
Yeah, in a way that you're not used to with that kind of music. Yeah. So where are you guys playing next?
We are playing at Echo Curio on Friday, May 16th. I think we're playing at 8 or 8:30.
Okay.
So
it's my sister's birthday.
Awesome.
That day. And we're actually playing with a friend of ours, too, a drummer.
Oh yeah, we have a guest playing with us, Christine Kings from Sharpies, the ex Sharpies.
Oh cool.
But yeah, so she's going to be playing a couple songs with us. That's something we'd like to do also, is have different shows have different elements. A lot of times we play with a visual artist. Well, we don't play with him. He does visual
while you're playing.
And that's been, I mean, we don't get to enjoy it because we can't look at it.
We're the canvas.
But we're the canvas.
But you've heard
for
it's
him.
Great.
And it's really cool because we wear white usually. So he like projects onto us as well as the background. So then it becomes sort of like it's a visual and oral experience.
Multimedia.
For people.
Yeah. Are you going to do that at Echo Curio? Are you going to have the visuals?
I don't know if he's going to be available. So it really is depending on if he's available. Otherwise, we'll just do it with the drums and, you know. Each show is different. That's sort of like what's fun about it, and you know, kind of mix it up.
Do you guys have any, you know, direct image in your head of the future of Telematique, or where you want to go with it? You know, how much playing you want to do, how much touring you want to do, how many albums you want to release, those kinds of things.
Well,
I think it's part of our hopefully it's something that we'll just be able to continue to do for the rest of our life. You know, it's something that, I don't know. You want to talk about Arisha's got more of probably the game plan and strategy.
Yeah. I'm the planner here. I think it ebbs and flows depending on the day of how I feel about it. But I definitely would like to tour. Probably do a tour, maybe a collaborative tour with either by ourselves or with another artist or filmmakers. I have ideas out there, and I have people that we've been talking to about possibly touring some parts of Europe, you know, in a year or something. So I'm sort of opening up the options as to like what may happen, and being sort of open-minded about it. And as far as, you know, becoming world famous, I mean, realistically, this kind of music, who knows, you know? And that's not like a dream anymore. It's just like, I just love playing music. We love playing music. We love, you know, the experience we get with people, and try to do as much as we can, you know, but not burn ourselves out or burn our audience out.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, and I think musicians are getting used to doing this. You kind of censored yourself there. You were like, realistically? And then you said, well, who knows? Because, you know, it's like we've become so used to saying, well, probably not going to make it to the cover of Rolling Stones, but you don't know because you're doing something new, you know, and you don't know how the audience is going to react to you, and how things are going to change in the music world.
You never know.
So yeah, you really never know. It's,
but
that's
it's not
one of the
something
good
that's like, it's not that like when I, you know, when I was 25, I was like, I want to be famous, you know,
right.
But I, you know, there are other things in life that I want to do as well. And it's not my main priority,
right.
But playing music is like, you know, Summer said, that's probably going to be something we're going to do for the rest of our lives, just because it's like sort of integral.
And it's, you know what, you never know, like Post Petroleum, Rolling Stone, like these are acoustic instruments. Like we might have to avoid the loops and all like that, but you know, it's
yeah,
something
exactly.
There.
When electricity fails,
these instruments have been around. These instruments have stood the test of time, right?
Yeah, no shit.
All right, we'll sign off with the last track off of your EP. It's called Sleepless. And guys, thanks so much for coming in and hanging out with me. And please keep me up to date with what you guys are doing, new music and performances and all that.
Thank you so much for having us. It was really fun. And
yeah,
yes, we'll definitely keep you in the loop.
And check out Telematique May 16th at the Echo Curio. This episode will be available for download within 24 hours from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com/beta. Check out Telematique's profile over there when we get it all set up. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.